Anyway, kia ora, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. The weather in Greensboro, where most of us are, except for Donal, I think, is about 70 degrees and lovely. In fact, I was on a great walk before I had to cut it short to get in here. So I hope you're getting out there and enjoying it. As you know, I'm Ben Dyson from the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. And today is our group processing session about this class, because if we ever do go further and extend this to other populations, other graduate students in other different countries, you all might want to know what these students think about this class before taking it. So I just framed this as a group processing session. You might call it similar to group processing and cooperative learning, or you might call it similar to circle time and hopefully in restorative practice. So we're trying to gain the voice of the participants is the main idea. And the idea is for you to drive this, not me. And hopefully we can do, you can do most of that today. And so I framed it loosely around three project adventure, debriefing, reflective practice questions, which are what happened during the semester in KIN 700. So what, and we'll get into the detail of that soon. And then now what? So what is essentially the transfer or the potential of this class for yourself, and specifically in terms of your research, in terms of your work in schools and your teaching and your own pedagogy, since we've been talking about creative pedagogies all semester. Okay. So do we mind if we start with the what happened in KIN 700 creative pedagogies this semester? This is, to me, this is like a normal evaluation or assessment. It's sort of really describing what goes on. So it's probably more, a little bit more objective than the other two parts or questions that I have. Anybody want to make a comment?
I think we have a lot of chances to get connected with professors in different fields in kinesiology. Yeah, because I think it is really, sometimes it is really hard to broaden our academic view outside my research interest. So it was a great, really great opportunity for me.
Very good. And you'll be pleased to know in the last week of classes, we're going to try and jam in not one, not two, but three more people. Okay. And you'll hear about that at the end of class. I'm glad you appreciate that, should you?
Yeah.
Come sum it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, the KIN 700 class allows me to explore, you know, different innovative pedagogies that grounded in value-based practice and learned different theoretical insights and empirical studies through carefully selected peer-reviewed journals. And also, as Songyong mentioned, this class provided me the opportunity to have dialogues with leading scholars in the world about these innovative pedagogies. And I think I learned their perspectives and experiences in these P pedagogies. And I think most of the pedagogy are developed by these leading scholars, which is really, you know, impressive opportunity to communicate with them and also to learn their stories and their research methodologies that they used in their studies. And also this class engaged me to think about how can I better use the knowledge that I learned in the class for my future research or my future teaching activities. And
very good. And that last one, Eddie, is going to be the transfer too. So hold on to some of that for the for the transfer. But carry on if you have other things to add about what happened. And
also, another one important thing is like you can make connections with those leading scholars, and these resources can be really helpful, you know, for your future research. And yeah, these are very good resources. And also finally, I think this class also allows me to look at those P pedagogies and understanding its meanings and values in the field of education from different theoretical perspectives, and which I have never thought before. For example, we have Dr. Pringle's social critical social critical theory in pedagogy, and also the importance of being a critical researcher, and also Dr. Landy's in a queer inclusive physical education, and also Dr. Pipe indigenous pedagogy as well. And these are pretty new for me, and I think I really appreciate to learn these perspectives, theoretical perspectives.
Very good, Eddie. And, you know, maybe we're kind of lucky and we're a bit spoiled this year, particularly because we couldn't go to AERA and we couldn't go to Shape America. So, you know, and those are some of the folks you would have seen there. And hopefully when you do see them in the future, you can feel comfortable going up to them and saying, hi, remember, I met you. And then also, obviously, many of you have emailed several of them already. So that's always a good start. Thank you, Eddie. That was very good. Interesting answer. And everybody doesn't need to talk at every question here. And I'm fine that we don't spend the whole allotted time tonight, because I know people have got stuff to do. People want to go next, or are they more interested in the next two levels or questions? Jennifer, want to jump in there?
Yeah, I just want to piggyback off of both of those, which is that this, the way in which this course connected us from the published research to the author, to the dialogue that we could have with the author in most cases, right? Mm-hmm. Is priceless as a doc student. And I mean, I've said this a bunch. This is one of the best courses I had because of those connections, which I didn't get to make in other places. Not that they didn't try, because I think that they did. And so I'm trying to go back and forth between the one other time that this idea of reading something and then being able to sit with the author, with the scholar, happened. And it wasn't the same. And so I'm trying to think about the dynamics as well in all of this. But and maybe it's that I'm where I am in this program. I'm not brand spanking new, which is the last time anything like this happened for me. And so again, my own level of interaction and dialogue and willingness to email, you know, a scholar afterwards is way higher because of this course. And Judy and I talk about this a lot. My brain works through loose association. And so this course was just like a playground for me in that. And so for me, it was just this ability to come in and read about something that honestly I had no background knowledge in. There were a couple. I mean, obviously I knew about PCK and there might've been one more, but cooperative learning. But other than that, these were brand new playgrounds for me, brand new sandboxes to get to play in. And I absolutely appreciated the space and the time to do that.
Well, great. Thank you very much for that, Jennifer. And you've been a big contributor to the class. And I was worried that you wouldn't connect as well as some of the other folks here, since this is not a lot of all of these folks have, except for Laura, come from, I guess Richard, come from physical education backgrounds or health and physical education backgrounds. So So very pleasing to hear that. Thank you for those comments. Julian Donald, do you want to say anything at this point, or you're good to go?
Yeah. So I mean, I just on that, I think it was a good experience to put ourselves in a position where we had to kind of challenge the people we were speaking to as well too. I know from my own perspective, and I would have spent a lot of time reading a lot of the. I would be very familiar with a lot of with some people, and maybe not so much with others. But it was important for me to be able to. Justify or, you know, provide a counter argument or challenge some of the ideas that some people had, and not, you know, not just to just accept them for what they were. And I think that was something that we all maybe that's what the class provided us the opportunity to do while we were in it, was that, you know, there were weeks where there was stuff that maybe was we might have personally or collectively agreed with, and other things we disagreed with, but that we were able to actually provide a response, at least, or a critique, maybe, but to do it in a manner that, you know, that the seminar manner allowed for that to happen as well too. In so far as that, we knew that, you know, if you had a point, you were going to get a chance to maybe make that point. But it was very important, I suppose, as well too, that you were. I guess confident in the point you were making, or that you were able to practice making the point, you know?
Yeah, and doctoral students get very few chances to do that. And I know that was one of the things that drew me to try to create this class, because I based it on what we did at Ohio State back in the early 90s. And we had Daryl Sedentop and Mary O'Sullivan, Deborah Tannehill, Sandy Stroot, and often guests in there, like even Hasty, he came to visit, David Kirk came to visit, Richard Tinning came to visit, and a bunch of other people, Russell Pate, George Graham, Tom Martinek. So we were very fortunate to have that. And it, you know, it's sort of challenging the ideas, but doing it in a respectful manner, because you respect that they've done this stuff, this good work, but you want to push them a little bit. And I think it's very good, because then when you go to conferences now, you'll feel more, hopefully, you know, confident to do that. So that's one of the key parts of it, I think.
Yeah, and there were points where I was uncomfortable in doing that. And I think there was, you know, but I think there was points where everybody was uncomfortable maybe in doing it. And even people that were guests were uncomfortable as well too, and stuff, and not in a, like, it's not in a negative way, but just that, yeah, it was there was space to do that,
basically getting outside your comfort zone, but also but allowing the space to do it, and everyone feeling like they could contribute. And everybody did, you know, like there's no one in this group that didn't make comments, didn't make interesting points, or didn't ask interesting questions. So, yeah. Jay, do you want to add anything, or want to move on?
I'll just add something really fast. Jennifer and I, our first class that we took was very similar, in the sense of in the teacher education and development, I guess you can call us the concentration in TEHE. We had a chance to read different pieces from the different faculty members that were in TEHE. And then, like, we would read and they'd come and we'd have a conversation. And I just think about my personal growth from my first semester as a doc student to now, and being able to read and think of questions. And I remember even the first time that my advisor came in and I read his piece, and we're supposed to bring questions. And, you know, you get to this place where it's like, oh, you're just so fearful. I don't want to, you know, disrespect, sound ridiculous, like I don't know what you're talking about or know what I'm talking about. So I think what's really nice is, for my own personal assessment, seeing the growth that I have made. But I think this is a real critical thing that we have to do with all students, no matter what level we're teaching, is we have to raise their level of critical thinking about how, whatever it is that we have to analyze. So, you know, to be able to have these different conversations, and like Donald said, some things a lot of things I read about, I'm definitely have background knowledge in, but to be able to take someone's article and really analyze it and try to find coming up with the questions wasn't always an easy thing to do. So I think that's something with this course to maintain, to challenge your students or any students who are going to do this in a different format or a similar format even. It just really gets you thinking about how do you, and it's not always trying to make it better, but how do you have a critical conversation about someone else's work that can raise good points, that can, in a nice, safe space, be able to challenge, bring up perspectives that maybe over time when we all are seasoned researchers that we're going to even forget in our upbringing as a doc student as well. So I thought it was a great opportunity for us to improve in a lot of different skills.
Great. Thanks, Judy. And you bring up some very good points that we should be doing this all along. And I think a lot of doc students miss out on this in their process. And so, you know, we want to continue to do this. So I do want us to meet, you know, at least once a month in the fall, if that's okay, as a group. And we can either have a topic, read a paper or not, but just to try to keep the dialogue going on specific topics that are important for us. So we're going to move on. And, you know, I'm going to play this back to myself one day. So I'm glad we're recording this because, you know, as I've said before, this has been one of the most pleasurable classes I've ever had in the 25 years I've been involved in doing this work. And it just reminds me of what we, the great work we had and the great opportunity we had when we were at Ohio State back in the early 90s. So the next question is, so what? So it's more subjective here. How did the class make you feel? Do you value it? Is it something that you could do yourself? How useful will it be for you? What critiques do you have to make it better? Or, you know, did you ever feel it was a waste of time? And if anything was a waste of time, what was it? You know, so just trying to the so what aspect, and feel free to bring up anything related to that. Judy, you want to start? Or
yeah, I'll start. Something that, well, we all had a chance to experience with my undergraduate students. So this idea in my secondary methods class a couple years ago, I had this idea I do teach, you know, I use Dr. Mike Messler's book about the different teaching models, and you know, I try to branch away from, you know, I start with obviously here skill themes with George Graham, and that's my background, but then how do we make this look a little differently, but yet still connected to skill themes when we teach secondary levels of physical education. So I started bringing in, and I called it with my undergraduate students, meet the scholar. Because a lot of times, you know, it's me as the sole, you know, true Pete instructor for the main methods classes, you know, I'm indoctrinating them to a profession, and they all they know is what I'm giving them. And they just know certain things just because, oh, my professor, you know, the PEAK coordinator is telling me this is what I need to know. And I think for them, we trap them in this small space and they think that's all there is. And we all know that's not. So I know from my students who are undergrad seniors that they really do enjoy, and they're like being able to open their minds to different things. It's one thing to read about cooperative learning, you know, from Dr. Metzler's book, but when you came in, and you were able to bring, you know, the different activities and bring it to life. I mean, we were able to have deeper conversations afterwards, and they did a better job of trying to implement these ideas. So Dr. Hipple came in as one of my scholars, and he really did an awesome session about restorative circles. And while we were teaching health methods, that was something that my students, when we went out to practicum, in their internship, they're like, okay, we want to end the class using restorative circles. So, you know, again, I think there's such a value and a knowledge to this. So at all levels. So I can tell you that it does work. It does take some time to do, of course, but it does, I think, kind of branch out what we know. And even for myself, to be able to take away something from every session every week was very valuable. And even if it were, you know, some things I go, you know, I lecture on this stuff. I've got good knowledge with this, but, you know, to be able to find one more article or one author, or, you know, I have this idea for my own studies. And then when we had Stephen Harvey as our guest, and then I think it was Stephen Harvey, and maybe it was Sue Sutherland. I'm getting my weeks confused because I'm starting to have COVID-19 brain, but the whole idea of Tim Fletcher and meaning, you know, meaningful PE, which is something that I want to explore. So it was very, very valuable. And that's my, so what? I'm going to continue with my undergrads. And I think more students across all levels, masters and doctoral students, need to have an opportunity to do what we did.
Yeah. And just hold on to that, what you're going to do next, because that's the transfer, which is the third piece of this puzzle, perhaps. And I'm not saying there isn't more to the puzzle. But one thing you did mention was the different, it used to be called instructional formats, instructional models. And now we've used the term, I've tried to use the term pedagogical practices and models-based practices sitting there. And today, Ash Casey sent me two papers. And we're going to do a conversation with him. And if you're available, I don't know what time it is yet, but we haven't actually scheduled it. But there'll be a couple of papers appear before we do that. And it'll be basically critiquing models-based practice from a practitioner perspective. So I think you particularly, you and Jennifer, since you've had so many years experience, and Donald, and well, Eddie, I'm not trying to discount anybody, but certainly the number of years experience trying to do some of this pedagogical work does put you in a unique position, I think. All right. Who would like to go next on the...
So Judy and I have talked a lot over the semester about how just in terms of the way this class like made us feel and related to us and all of that is that we both felt like this class happened at the right moment, at the right time for us. And there were so many things that we came away from class with each time and different for both of us. But we did come away with things that were like absolutely relevant to what we were trying to figure out in our heads about our pilot studies, about our dissertation work, and just about. We can go on and on. And so, I wish I could put my finger on exactly how that happened or what the magic of that was. And I don't know that there was any, it was just timing. But I mean, absolutely, this course was valuable in that it gave us all these different avenues to look through and again, avenues I hadn't thought of or that could be relevant to me in there. And so that was just super important right here, right now. And I'm a lot like Judy as well in that, you know, I took things away from those first couple of weeks and folded them right into what I was teaching my undergrads. And, you know, if it wasn't the exact article, it was a snippet out of that article because, you know, I didn't want to overwhelm them, but it was there and they saw it. And, you know, all I can do is give them as broad a view of pedagogy as you have given me in this moment. And that's, you know, for someone who had to routinely say thank you for letting me sit at the table, I feel incredibly connected to all of this information, whether it would work for me or not.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Anybody else on the, so what, and obviously, Jennifer, you moved into a bit of a now what to transfer, and that's understandable.
I think I was able to apply new approach into what I thought I'm quite familiar with. For example, my master's thesis about teaching how to teach health concept in elementary PE class and two articles from Dr. Vicky Goodyear was real interesting to me because I made a lot of not a lot of, I made several suggestions for her articles, and I thought I was, I thought quite familiar with that contents, but like using social medias was, she gave me another way of thinking about using social medias to teach health concepts in PE class.
Okay, for me, I think this class makes me feel very innovative and very valuable. And I think these two words are that can represent my feelings very accurately for this class. It's innovative because the way the organization of the class is very innovative, because this class doesn't follow a very traditional structure of class like the some other class that I attend before. You have papers to read every week, then you just do presentations and post your discussion and response on Canvas. But in this class, you can have direct, you know, dialogue and face-to-face communication, I mean online communication with leading scholars all around the world, and I think it's very innovative in this way. And also it's valuable in that because it allows you to learn you know the mainstream PE pedagogy or model-based practices in PE in this class. And then I think it's a very good screening process for me so that I can pick maybe one, two or three pedagogies that I'm interested in to dig in depth in those pedagogies. And this class helped me to make a very good screening of all the mainstream model-based practices, pedagogies. Yeah. So I think very valuable.
You want to go for it, Donald?
No, I'm okay.
We can pass. We can move on if you like.
Everyone said the same thing there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, so we're on the now what, which is what will you be able to take from the class? How do you relate it to your research? I know some people have already talked about that. Could you relate it to your school or your community or your teaching? Potential outreach, and then if we have time, we might talk about, well, you know, what might be the next step for this class in terms of, you know, you won't be taking it again, but maybe we can offer it for other students here, but also other students internationally. Any thoughts?
So I have been brainstorming since probably about halfway through the semester ways that I could sort of recreate and adapt this course for wherever I land after dissertation is done and I get a job at a university, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's been really fun to think about what would change, right, if we just moved this into the School of Ed, right? So if it were me and I were a professor in School of mm-hmm. Ed and I moved this in and I created a creative pedagogies course mm-hmm. at the doctoral level, mm-hmm. I've been sort of brainstorming, who would it be? Who would I try to connect with? What would those pedagogies be that I would want to have included? Certainly there would be, I would be tying over to kinesiology and the department because of what this whole space has opened up for me. But then also looking at perhaps other departments, like what's in the art department, like who's over there, who's doing arts-based infused research, or who's doing arts-based pedagogies that could come, right? So so there's that. But then if you bring it down a level, I've been thinking about what would that look like at the master's level, and how would the course have to change, right, in order to meet the needs of a master's student who is getting licensure, or a master's student who is, you know, stepping up the licensure that they already have, and what would those projects look like, and, you know, and then all the way down to what would an undergraduate course in this be like. And so, again, sort of wrapping that into a school of ed, a middle grades program, you know, I've been considering specializing it that far down, or secondary pedagogy versus elementary pedagogy, as I don't have really any experience in traditional secondary or traditional elementary. I spent my career in the middle. I can, you know, I see both ends. I'm in the middle looking at both sides. And so, that's really in the now what for me, is to finalize what that kind of syllabus would look like, so that I can have that as sort of, I don't want to say like a marketing tool, but I can have that as when I'm in an interview and people ask me where, you know, what direction or what would be my thing. I am not going to let this go is the way I feel about it. This will be the course that I will be advocating for, no matter where I land.
Thank you, Jennifer. And like in certification or in teacher prep, imagine if you got all these master teachers from the district or
right
to come in and do a session, you know, instead of you teaching all the time. Not that you can't do it, but, you know, sometimes the students just need another voice. And I worried in this class, to be honest, that I was going to bring too many people in. And because then it's, you know, not me, but just trying to create a space to organize that took a lot of time and energy. But I've enjoyed it myself because I've reconnected with people that I haven't been connected with for a while. So, you know, it's been good for me too, you know.
But you modeled some really great things in there, right? So just because and I appreciate that you felt that way, right? Mm-hmm. But you then modeled for us how we can do that, and how, yes, I can have my week, whatever my week is in this 15, right? Mm-hmm. And I can stand shoulder to shoulder with the rest of these scholars that I choose to bring in. Or I was a teacher for 20 years. I can stand mm-hmm. shoulder to shoulder with the educators that I know are doing these good pieces and bring them in. So again, like, give me a blank piece of paper and I can blow it all up. So it also, for me, ties into this really strong need that I am suddenly having, again, based on some things that we read in this course, about how to better serve our cooperating teachers that we build these relationships with. And because what they are is burned out, and they need us as much as we need them. And so this course feels like it could be an avenue into our, we call them OSTEs, right? Into our on-site teacher educators, that gives them that edge as well. And then as they see our undergrads coming in, or our master's level kids coming in and student teaching and doing their internship and asking to do cooperative learning where it isn't just group work, and understanding these pedagogical pieces, the OSTE doesn't stand there and go, oh, I don't know what that is. I don't think I can let you do that, because we brought them into the fold. And so these three courses have lots of sort of tentacles that reach out from them, in my opinion, that's all surrounded inside. And that was a lot because of the way you modeled the course. And I appreciate that as well.
Well, thanks again. The thing that I've learned from the course is and thought about is how do we build not only relationship with the OSTEs or the cooperating teachers, but with teachers. So how do we do a better job of connecting all this really good stuff that we know about now with the teachers in the field, you know? And, you know, we've mentioned the term, the theory practice gap, several times in this course. Right. And it's still very much out there. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So
a really great transfer would be a course where we would have more teachers in the field in the course. Maybe it would be a master's level course. And that's what I sort of did in Memphis. But anyways, just a thought. Donal, you're unplugged there. You want to make a comment, mate?
I know that a lot of the, in general, I think maybe it's just my observation as an international student or whatever, but I found myself as an undergraduate having these kind of conversations very frequently in my teacher education course. We had seminar style classes. We were expected to, come with an opinion and be able to tease it out and argue it out and debate it. And I'm not saying that we were, good at it, or that it was, necessarily as grout, it wasn't, certainly wouldn't have been as detailed, I guess, as what we do now at a graduate level. But I think that's something that's very lacking from American graduate courses. I know that, we'll probably are a little bit restricted perhaps in their kinesiology department, that we don't have, I guess, maybe the numbers to sign up to these types of classes or programs as such. I think it would have been very useful for a lot of kinesiologists to sit in this class and understand why, physical activity is the way it is, rather than, and would probably help them to understand the problems they deal with as well too, because these problems play out, I suppose, in society and in schools rather, which, and I think a lot of kinesiologists think, that they're stuck in the labs, that they don't actually see where this issue comes from. They only see the problem and how to fix the problem rather than where the problem came from. And I know that in the ELC, Educational Leadership Cultural Department or whatever, I know they have a lot of classes. I'm sitting one now, and it's a similar type of structure, but I think that definitely that type of those classes are offered. The main population in those classes is teachers, assistant principals, counselors that are doing the master's or doctoral or GD programs or whatever. And I think it'd be worth offering it to them as something different. I know you were kind of putting this course together just maybe to see what to try and test it and stuff. And, very much, you definitely want a couple of people with some sort of content and background in it as well too. But at the same time, we can see now as well with Jennifer, and this is not to dismiss your input, Jennifer, whatsoever, but we see that this content is extremely relevant, not just to physical education or physical activity or sport or undergraduate settings, but it can be certainly applied across to other for other people. And I think it's important that we position the work we do in physical education as being on par with what may or may not be found, with what should be found in other areas and stuff. And I don't think we, I think that's certainly an avenue that we could probably look at as, showing what we bring to the table, I guess, and offering that to these types of people so you can get these practitioners to actually engage with that. And at the very least, I'm rambling on a little bit now, but at the very least, they can go, that assistant principal goes back to their school and they go to the physical education teacher. Well, did you ever hear about this? Or, I'm sitting in this class now. You might want to, it's interesting. And yeah, at the very least, give these people the perspective of what a PE teacher, or, at least I hope a good PE teacher, what they have to do and see and deal with in their classrooms, rather than, I think there's always that separation made, I think, especially in America, between your mainstream subjects and the liberal, the arts subjects, or, not just PE, but, and I think it's, it'd be useful for these type of stakeholders to see that point of view at very least, or see the kind of challenges that are faced and how they're being addressed,
Yeah, and Donal, I agree with you 100%, but I think positioning ourselves in physical education with other kinesiologists or educators like Jennifer has been able to relate to, I think, 90% of what we've been talking about. So there's a connection there. But I like the idea of maybe having it available to, you know, maybe we need to create a master's course, Judy Fowler, for, you know, in our new online master's program. It's something like this. I think it could go down very well for a number of teachers, not just in the state, but nationally, you know.
Agreed. I think something, you know, to piggyback on what Jennifer said is to allow, that's our avenue. And even if it's something that's online, I know there's other states that do honor and pay folks for master's plus credits, you know, as they're moving towards, it doesn't necessarily have to be a doctor, but it's just the idea of continuing their education. I know back in Ohio, I've got friends who they don't have the PhD, but they get paid on the master's plus scale because they've got, you know, 30 extra credits beyond their master's. So I think it's something that's very valuable. And I do think going across different, like for example, I know we've talked about teacher noticing before, and that really comes from the mathematics world. And Dr. Vicki Jacobs is a professor that Jennifer and I had for our qualitative methods class. And I think it's making more connections across different fields. I think in education we do, and we silo. So Donald, what he just said is we silo all the time, and we do it in kinesiology. We've got the, you know, we've got the sports psychologists, we've got teacher ed, we've got exercise phys, and I think where we really have to do a better job of, and I think I hate to say it, but maybe one of the silver linings of this idea of COVID-19 is this idea of people in their outlet right now, and they're appreciating physical activity and movement. They are listening to music more. Maybe they're appreciating the beauty around them, and you know, they're getting away. There's no more standardized tests. Teachers are doing a fantastic job. The teacher accountability piece, I saw something and I even shared it on Facebook. It's all this talk about neoliberalism in education. We're fearful that they're spending too much time in the behind their desk, or, you know, in the teacher's lounge that don't exist anymore. But, you know, and we had to tie in this accountability piece, and we're on teachers all the time. And look at what's happening now. Teachers are busting their backsides more so than ever. And we have taken standardized testing away this year, and they're still working hard. So I think there's something to be said about us coming together. And then I do think that your class did bring, even though we didn't get to bring all the scholars together, but we as a group, I think we became a more cohesive group in the process, and we became, as the school term is called, our own professional learning community. And I think that's something really nice, and get to know each other and our strengths. So I'm going to say one more thing and then I'm going to cut it off. But the one thing I think that, you know, the now what piece, and something to tie into this idea of a critical friend. I mean, now that we continue moving forward, like if there is ever a day that I can complete a pilot study, and I come up with something, I would love to have this group read something of mine. And then we could, you know, so not only just us finding articles of different people, but we start bringing our own pieces together and we read it. And then to have that same critical discussion, y'all are my critical friends now. So we can have this discussion and this, you know, mutual respect that we can make each other better scholars and educators for the future. I'm finished.
Judy, thank you very much. And Donald just put up a paper on the chat, and I think I've read that, but I know I've reviewed some of it, but I think that would be a great paper to flick out to people. If you could send it to me, Donald, that'd be great. You just said hit on a lot of things, Judy, and I'm going to leave it there and let someone else talk for a little bit. And then I have a couple of questions at the end that are sort of gnawing away at me a wee bit. Yeah, or one anyway, particularly. Yeah. And.
Hey, I really agree with Donald and Jennifer and Judy's, their perspective of, how this class should be available for more students within different levels, like master students or in kinesiology, and as well as I think EDD students as well, because I know some EDD students, they are currently professors, instructors, or teachers in PE or in kinesiology. So they would be interested in the in this class as well. I just want to say this class is very valuable, and I think it deserves to involve more people to get benefits of it, you know. And and I think it's perfect. It is perfect class. I know the workload is very heavy for you to organize the class every week. And
It's my pleasure, Eddie, and thanks for the comments. Xinyan, did you want to add anything about transfer, or you don't have to if you're good?
Actually, this is not really about how to expand this class outside kinesiology. This is really about myself, expanding myself. So as a first year doctoral student, actually my first year is almost gone, so I cannot believe it. Time flies, but yeah. So after this course, I thought I really have to develop my own pedagogies, because we learn really a lot of different approaches and different type of knowledge in this class. So I thought I cannot really invite all of those knowledge into my major strands of my pedagogical understanding. So I really thought I really have to read more books which have philosophy, pedagogical philosophy, and I really have to develop my own pedagogies so that I can know what I should invite into my pedagogical understanding and develop my understanding as a potential researcher.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
I think Seng Yen's point there as well too, is that we often just forget to ask, you know. I mean, I know from my own experience that if I wasn't sure about something or I read a paper, I just emailed the person, just, you know, it's worth a shot anyway, you know, to actually, you know, it's great. I mean, this eliminates that issue where we actually get to meet these people we read their papers in advance and then we can ask them. But I know my own experience of reading papers and even reading them with you, Ben, is that actually just reaching out to these people that you might not always get back to you, but if they do, you know, you get that email, they get the email, or they have time that they do, and it helps to clear it up. Or, you know, it's very easy to start making these contacts and these links with people and getting them to respond to you as well too. So, you know, don't just wait for it as well too, to be kind of put in front of you as well, that when, you know, you'd be surprised what you can get from actually just dropping the email yourself and having a look and to do it. And that's how I've ended up where I am today as well, is basically from annoying people. So, you know, it's just something that I kind of picked up from what you're talking about there, Seng Yen, because, you know, we probably don't do it enough when we're not sure of something. We just read the paper and move on. And you can see that anyone we've spoken to, that they're all actually really willing to speak and talk when they have the time to do it, you know?
Yeah. And Donald, I'd just like to say that, you know, again, you know, I asked every person I asked to be in this class and be connected with it, said yes. There wasn't one person who wasn't interested. So they could all see the value of it. And that's why we're going to be jammed, packed in the next week or so. The question I have, it's connected to what a couple of you have already talked about, is the notion of theoretical framing, philosophical background, conceptual framework. To me, a lot of that perhaps was reasonably strong with, you know, the beginning work with Richard Pringle and Dylan, but I think I'd call it maybe a weakness, was that there wasn't a lot of theory in the class. Maybe that was a plus, because with too much theory, it would have been too difficult to get your head around all these different pedagogical approaches. but I'm just wondering that it may be a positive in the sense that maybe that's the sort of next stage or the next level where it doesn't focus just on the pedagogy, but it focuses on sort of stepping back. So where does all this stuff come from? You know, what is the theoretical background, the theoretical framing, the conceptualizing, or what philosophy, what sort of epistemology and ontology does this work rely on? Did anyone make a comment about that?
I'll go say something. I guess with some of the things, some of the elements, concepts, I guess, you know, with my own research, we're always in this pursuit to find the seminal piece that started everything. So with me being interested in perceived mattering, you know, when I learned about Rosenberg's work and, you know, where it came from and to see the evolution of things, I think sometimes that's nice for graduate students to be able to see, because there's just so much information out there in the research. You know, there's no way, that's again why I love this class. I always walked away with something I didn't know about. I mean, I knew about bigger topics, but there was always a little nip, something else that I kind of could add to the table. But, and maybe that's overkill. I don't know, that every single week you find the seminal piece and that kind of connects, because it was really wonderful to read the scholars' work about who we were, you know, meeting with. But maybe I should have asked that question, you know, every week. I don't know, to tie into that. That would have been helpful with some of the cases for me.
I could see that as an advanced course from this. Like, what if this is where, I mean, this is where we start, right? But then if you offered it as an advanced creative pedagogies, that would then go back and say, okay, we looked at Landy's work, you know, and so now this week we're going to revisit that work, but now we're looking at that next scholarly level, and we're looking at it through a theoretical lens or the conceptual framework lens, or we really are going to dig into the ways in which epistemology and ontology and axiology are all like this with each other. Because I think that's the other piece, right? Is I know that for me, in my first couple of years, took me a really long time to figure out that those weren't silos, that all those big words don't actually work in isolation. They only work when you have them all. And so I think that would make for a fascinating next level course once you've dived in to the pedagogy, that then to come back and say, you know, how do all of these things now fit, and even then with, and then what was the methodology that got used? Because I appreciated that the majority of these were empirical. There were studies that were happening, and that they weren't just the theoretical papers around it. So, yeah. There you go. That way we can all keep meeting. I don't think I can lose you all just yet. I don't, at least that's the way it feels.
I have my way, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I think, you know, to learn the theoretical frameworks behind those pedagogies, another way is like we can do a theoretical framework introduction on the discussion board every week so that students can discuss about the theoretical framework under each pedagogies. So I think it's better to combine the pedagogy class with the theoretical frameworks rather than separate them. So we can use Canvas discussion board to do that. Yeah, every week. I think that would be another way to do that, to integrate those theoretic frameworks with those pedagogies. Yeah, that's my thoughts.
It just, I mean, that's a good point, Eddie, because remember we had the class with Edinburgh, where we would have had to have like contributed before we in discussions before we went in, and not only did that kind of help I suppose our understanding, but we got to kind of see before we got to class. If you do that, go that approach, you get to see before class what other people are thinking as well too. You know, or what their thoughts are on it. Not that there's a right or wrong, but you're able to gauge, I guess, what everyone's thinking before you go into class as well too. So that's what that helps, is probably, you know, you kind of get to the point where you're in class and you kind of have an idea what someone, where someone's coming from once they, before they've actually even started asking questions in class or speaking in class as well too.
That might have been really hard for me, like I only because there were so many of these things that I had never seen before. So maybe if it I'm just sort of thinking out loud that would have, if that extra layer of here, go into Canvas and start talking about the theoretical piece or where you think these are theoretically driven, right, or grounded, might have been enough to tip me over and might not have made sitting in class then quite as much fun. But I am fully willing to admit that I came from outside, right, and looking in. And I would be afraid that every week it would have been, I don't even know what I'm looking at, really. that would have ended up sort of being my mantra. But I think that has to do with just coming from the outside into this space.
Thanks, Jennifer, Donald, and Eddie. I think this class wouldn't really work as a fully online class without this dialogue, because I think the dialogue has been a key part of it. I remember even from the very beginning, you know, like with Pringle and with Landy and with, you know, Laura Pipe, you know, it was hard to stop, you know, which was wonderful position to be in. So, you know, next step. So the other question I have is, do you think that it's possible to have it online like we're doing now, because we have no choice, for students from other countries or people that aren't in this state, and for it to be any good, or will it crash and burn? If, you know, because we had that together time at the beginning, you know, we sat down and we chatted to each other and we're in the same room, maybe even had a few snacks, whatever. Perhaps it would have worked with this group, but I'd be concerned that people might drop out. Does anyone have any thoughts on that? That's sort of a bit of a thought for the future for me. So, you know, going forward, I can't offer this next semester because there's no one to take it, or next year, because I don't have, you know, you all, you know, five new students coming in.
You got to come over to TED. I'll teach it with you.
Well, that's a possibility.
We could do it over there.
Yeah, well, and so that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of thing I'm thinking of. Yeah. So, anyone else want to make a comment on that, or any thoughts about whether we could bring people from Germany? I don't know, Korea, China. I don't know.
I think that you would need to. I think you would probably need more kind of debrief, maybe classes in between, maybe even just two or three that, you know, we'd no sooner kind of got wrapped our heads around one when we were moving on to the next. And I know, like, you know, that was good for a lot. We got as much, we squeezed as much as we could out of this, I think, in this 15, 16 weeks. But I think maybe, you know, I think maybe students would benefit from a debrief after maybe three presentations to go, well, what's your thinking now as a group? You know, having the kind of discussion, I guess, that we're having now at the end of this course, I think that might be useful to gauge, you know, to allow people that time to maybe to reflect a little bit more on what's going on, so that then they can move on to the next three presentations and have that time, you know?
That's a great suggestion, though.
I mean, it was a lot to take in. Even, you know, I found like every week there was so much to be taken in. I was delighted to be taken in. I was delighted to have the opportunity to sit and listen. And there were weeks there where, you know, I mightn't have had the time to do the same amount of reading. And that's okay because we were, that's just, that was the nature of the class. All right. But I think that, you know, I would have maybe benefited as well if I was someone, if I'd never been seen physical education, I was coming into this, you know, I'd still be wrapping my head around the first three or four or five presentations, you know, and I think I would probably be a little bit lost by the time I get to the end of it, you know.
I want to say I was very thankful to have Jennifer to talk to. Sometimes we would talk before class, sometimes it'd be after class, and just so we would create that opportunity to talk about whatever came to mind or what it's connecting to with our future research ideas. Need to have a critical friend for this class, I think.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what you need. You need a critical friend. Well, not just for the class, for your research. And hopefully that's what you all will be for each other in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. I think you will, you know.
So I'm curious, did Shenyoung and Eddie and Donald, did any of you guys talk prior to class or after class in the same way that Judy and I did? It's okay if you didn't. I just am interested. Okay, well, there you go then.
I talked to everybody, Jennifer.
Oh, good. Except me.
No. I listened to you.
Yeah. Well, no, I loved talking with you. You challenged me in so many ways. And you all did. I hope.
Yeah.
You
know. No. I mean, I think it, no more than yourself and Jennifer or Judy as well too. I mean, I know myself and Eddie would spend a lot of time with each other, and we would. I think, you know, we had conversations when we didn't realize we were having conversations as well too. But I do appreciate the idea of having that critical friend or that peer, I guess, in class that you can have these discussions with. You know, I think it's important, you know, and I suppose Eddie are kind of fortunate as well. We're 2 years down now as well. We haven't been doing as much as you and Judy now yet. Hopefully we'll get there, but you know, I think these sort of, you know, it's nice to have those passive conversations and something that you might have missed out on that the other person would have picked up on and brought your attention to and stuff as well too. And no doubt, Shenyoung, we're going to have a lot more of those conversations with you as well. I think we're already beginning to have them, maybe more so this semester than last semester, but we're certainly starting to have the same types of conversations about the same things, which, you know, helps us all. You know, one person can bring something to it that other person isn't, and it, you know, keeps everyone moving forward. Yeah.
I always ask Donald and Eddie questions about everything. So I think we definitely had a conversation about this course.
I know that I always feel really fortunate that I chose the seat to sit in on the very first night of my very first doctoral class 4 years ago, because Judy sat to my right. And we have been fast critical friends since that night. I don't know if we spoke to each other in the first week in between, but if we didn't, by week two, we were like, what's your email? Like, it was that fast. And I just hope that everybody gets that everybody ends up with that person. The folks in the School of Ed doc office all know Judy as my person. That's the way they make reference to her. And so because I make reference to the conversations that we have. And so it makes me smile to know that you guys have that too.
So I suppose to go back to the point as well too, I wonder, I mean, Ben, you're talking about this international perspective. I don't know how that would look like. It'd certainly be interesting to see how you would connect somebody from Ireland with somebody in Korea or China or wherever it is, or, you know, in Australia or New Zealand as well too. I think that'd be an interesting route to go down.
Yeah, well, I would probably maybe ask you to join in for the Irish and Shenyun to join in for South Korea and Eddie to join in for the Chinese. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure how it could. I just think that this sort of possibility is important, and that's what Ohio State gave me with these seminars. We had them every semester, and you aren't getting them. But now that you've had it, you know, I want to make sure that we do continue it on in our own way, informally, because I think it'll be very helpful and supportive for you all in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. That's all. And, you know, it's hard to sort of, you know, put a, you know, as you say, hard to put a label on it, but it's all about, you know, the, as I think Jennifer said, you know, fast friends, critical friends, you know.
Do you think it would be possible to require a synchronous time meet like this? I mean, because I feel like even though we had class, right? I mean, we at that and all seated at one table, all, you know what I mean? Like looking across from each other. But if you said, yes, it's an online class, but, you know, we're meeting once a week, or we're meeting, I'm doing it with master's students right now. We meet every other week for 3 hours. And, you know, given you'd have to sort of negotiate what that would look like with where people were in the world, right? That does get tricky. But I wonder if you couldn't, we've done a fairly decent job of building a community with people who have never actually been in the room together. And you have to think about things a little differently. You have to have some low stakes sort of icebreaker like assignments that happen every week. But I that would be my recommendation, is that if you're going to open this up to, you know, visiting doc students, right, from anywhere in the world, that there would be some kind, there would be a synchronous, there would be an expectation so that they knew ahead of time of a synchronous component. Because this is where the magic happened, when we were all able to talk to each other.
Yeah. It's not, doesn't happen in a chat room, but it, maybe you could do one where you have a Europe type time.
Yes.
And then you have a South America, Southern Hemisphere type time.
Yep.
That fits in the US. So, you know, a Europe type time might be, you know, between 9 and 12, and then it's late in the afternoon there.
Right.
And that's why Vicky couldn't join us. And we're very fortunate that Roland joined us from Switzerland. Remember him?
Yes.
He's an interesting character. He wants a copy of the, he just emailed me today. He wants a copy of his, of the recordings. I have to get to send that to him. So that's wonderful. Just in that vein, I just got an email, naughtily I look, from Ash, and he is available May 1st between 10 and 12 in the morning, which is 3 to 5 p.m. their time. So I'm just going to, I'll send you an email about it tomorrow. If you are available and if you can make it, I would like us to all meet him together, because it's just much better than me just interviewing him, which is what he and I talked about. And certainly much better than just listening to a presentation of Vicky's, although it was very good. I really enjoyed that presentation. I asked my daughter to watch it because of the social media thing. So does anyone have any last comments? Because if you don't, I'm going to just go on to what are we going to try and figure out in the next week in a bit. Any parting thoughts, any other reflections, and feel free to email me as well. This is not the end of it. You know that. You all know my email.